Welcome to the Artist Mother Podcast, featuring interviews with incredible working artists who are also mothers and compelling conversations regarding parenting and the art world. These conversations create a space for inclusivity and support for artist mothers worldwide. I'm Kaylin Butine, painter, mom of three, and podcast host. I'm so grateful you are tuning in, and I hope you enjoy this episode.
It's been a process. I mean, it always is. I think any artist, you have really good days where you feel like you're accomplishing something meaningful, and then you have some low days where you feel like the work and your voice could be so much stronger. And so it's just pushing through that. It's pushing through those days where you sometimes feel vulnerable, or that the work, or that you're not measuring up in the studio. I think it's pushing through that and believing in it, and believing in yourself.
I'm delighted to welcome Bethany Czarnecki to the podcast today. Bethany creates abstract paintings that project an illusionistic sense of place, while also exploring the paradoxes and complexities of the female body and its representation. Her swirling compositions investigate themes of gender, identity, the human psyche, and sensuality. Bethany has a sociology degree, which seems to integrate well into the reflective nature of her work. She's represented by Massey Klein Gallery in New York City, and she lives in Connecticut with her husband and three children. Really looking forward to this conversation. Thank you, Bethany, so much for being here and sharing about your work and life with the Artist Mother podcast community today.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here, too.
Start towards the beginning. Tell me something about your childhood that you feel like connects to your life as an artist today. Have you always wanted to be an artist, or was that something you found later on?
Yeah. So being an artist is something that I found later in life, pretty recently, actually. I'm a self-taught painter and really kind of delved into it about 4 years ago. But that being said, you know, I grew up in New Jersey, right outside of New York City. And I went to college in New York City. I went to Barnard College. And so that, I think, the cultural influences of the city and always being exposed to museums and ballet and opera and the arts, that is something that really influenced me from a young age. And so I definitely absorbed the arts as a spectator and was really drawn to it, and always really enjoyed that. Even I can remember being very young, you know, 7 or 8 years old, and then through college enjoying, you know, the galleries in Chelsea and the arts through university, and then living in New York after school. But I fell into finance and worked for about 10 years in finance in Manhattan. And then I really sort of, it was more of kind of a spiritual awakening, I think, when I took some time off and was with my children, that I just had an overwhelming urge to start painting and had never painted with oils before. The little bit of dabbling I did as a younger student, and even in high school and college, it was always with acrylics. So I was kind of vaguely familiar with acrylic painting, but not oil. And I really just had this this sort of, I don't know, it was kind of unique. It was a unique experience because I sort of woke up one day with a compelling urge to paint. And then it sort of snowballed from there and became a daily, you know, obsession or practice where I had to paint. And so I did that consistently for about 2 or 3 years. And then that kind of developed into my yearning to sort of kind of combine the painting with like a self-exploration of being a woman. And, you know, it kind of naturally evolved, I would say. Like my practice naturally evolved once I became more comfortable with the paint, and really wanting to explore color and range, and then wanting to then sort of marry that practice with my own identity as a woman and as a mother, and kind of finding my voice and my place in kind of my own community and in my own life and existence, and then also in my studio and in this practice.
Oh my gosh, so much I love about that. I can't wait to dive in a little more. First, you know, I just love hearing that you grew up like influenced by the arts just because you lived in geographic, you know, closeness to like New York City. And I do think there's so much richness in the Northeast, as much as I hate how how centrally located the art world seems to be and like tied to New York. I do mm-hmm. think it's just cool to hear about somebody who maybe, you know, like wouldn't be an artist necessarily, or you didn't grow up with parents who were artists, but you were just enriched by the arts because you lived near New York, you know? I think that's a really beautiful way to think about it.
Definitely. I mean, it definitely has an impact. And when I was growing up, this was pre like really any kind of social media or internet. I mean, in order to experience art, you had to go in person, you know, you mm-hmm. had to go to these museums and go and see these programs, these shows, and hear the music and, go to galleries. I mean, in college, I guess I was in college in kind of the early 2000s. So, that kind of, you had more exposure online then, of course, it definitely had an impact, and you absorb what you see on a conscious and subconscious level, mm-hmm. I think. And so it's sort of embedded in you. And then as you have life experiences and desires and, just sort of your kind of how you want to respond to those things and what comes out, I think definitely, I would say the painting has always been, the yearning to paint has probably always been embedded inside of me. It just, there wasn't the right time for it to come out yet, you know? And
I love thinking about it that way.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's, it's a process, and, you know, painting is art, the arts and, you know, artistic expression, all that stuff. It's such a beautiful thing because it's something you can keep with you, you know, throughout your life and at any age. So I don't feel, you know, there are days where sometimes I feel, hindsight is 20/20. And had I wished that I found this passion years ago and made different choices, but I'm a firm believer in, that your life takes a certain path for a reason. And so things happen at the right time, and you just embrace them and utilize your experiences to then kind of dive into the work and make the work more contextually relevant.
That's good advice and encouragement for people listening. I want to dive back into that maybe in a few minutes, but first I want you to just describe what your paintings look like, maybe for somebody who has never viewed them. Just if you could talk a little bit about your process and the way that you use oil paint and what the final product ends up looking like.
Sure. So the paintings are, they're definitely abstracted forms of female identity, whether they be physical, the paintings themselves are sort of very abstract, like voluminous shapes of female forms, varying colors. I love to sort of layer various hues and opacity of oil paint on the canvas. So I start really, very purely just kind of sketching loosely a few lines just sort of to grid off the canvas. And then I really just dive in with oil paint and they kind of evolve organically. And, the color decisions are made more viscerally as I layer the paint, and the paintings can have anywhere from 10 to 20 layers of oil paint on them. So it's a bit of a slow process because I thin the oil paint out with linseed oil oftentimes to get such a smooth finish and mm-hmm. surface. So it takes a long time to dry. So I have to wait in between layers and I work on multiple canvases at a time. But I do vary the color and I do vary the texture in which I apply the paint. So some of the canvases might have thicker texture. Some might have opaque layers of color. Some might have more sheer overlays, and now I'm even embracing more gestural movement to add texture to the canvas. But they all sort of start with a female form, and then they sort of become abstracted through layers of various colors and textures of paint. And so sometimes Instagram is a beautiful tool, but sometimes I'll post a picture of an underpainting and it's very defined. The underpaintings are very defined, are very clear. That's a female form. But then when you look at the paintings over time, they almost become sort of nuanced into whether they're landscapes or dreamscapes. The notion of how I paint really started with this idea of the female as a landscape, and that kind of the multifaceted sort of role that women play. Mm-hmm. And so these paintings are kind of toggle between figurative and abstract and landscape form. And so there's like a physicality to them, but also a psychology to them as well.
Mm. And can you talk a little bit about your background in sociology and how maybe that you feel like that relates to the work, or maybe it relates to just the way you think about the work and, the way you process it?
Yes, that's a really good question. I think that's accurate. I think it probably aids in how I think about the work and how I process it. I mean, I'm one that I'm very interested in people and how people think and how we interact and just even in general, just cultures and the influence of all of that on kind of the human psyche, and the effects that take. So, I definitely think, studying sociology and the impact of culture and pop culture and society and the interaction of people, that was all really fascinating and I loved it. And then life experience just through working in finance and travel and everything else. And so and then also going to Barnard, a women's college, I think really helped kind of frame that for me. And so I think the work, it's a little bit of just studying as a young adult in a women's college and then being in like the broader context of New York. And then a little bit of my degree, I think it all sort of shifts how I look at people and myself and interactions and how I react to certain societal constructs. So it's a bit broad, I would say.
Yeah.
But the painting kind of dials really more into femininity and the topics I can defend, right? Like motherhood and sensuality and just being a woman.
Well, and I mean, I think it's no coincidence that you didn't unearth this desire to paint until you were at home with your kids, it kind of immersed in motherhood. So just, wondering a little bit about that connection. Do you feel like that was not coincidence and that this was very like specific, that motherhood was kind of this thing that brought about this desire to paint? Like, what do you think that's about?
I think it's definitely motherhood gave me a chance to really examine my own identity. I was very different before I became a mom. I think we all, you know, life was very different. Your perspective, you know, it's interesting. It's an interesting dynamic. I think once you become a mother, there really is a shift in how we look at ourselves and others and the world. And so I think it was more motherhood gave that little kind of nudge or impetus for me to kind of look within myself and really kind of assess what was important to me and my passions and my own identity and my own thought process. And then I think it's just natural when you have such an overwhelming desire to paint, like I do. I mean, it's most artists can relate. I think it's pretty compulsive. We can't control it. We can't control the desire to create. And it's difficult. It's not easy. Most days, painting can be very challenging. And so, or any art, any act of creating or, making something and composing something, it's challenging. And so, I think it was natural that I was spending so much time in the studio that I think it was natural that the work sort of began to evolve into how I identify in my life and just kind of how I've evolved, from being the many phases of how you evolve as a woman from, being young and whether there's sensuality and relationships and self-exploration and then, our own perspective on identity and motherhood and birthing. And so I think it's all sort of combined into one. I don't know if I answered that accurately or not. I don't think it was the impetus to get me to paint. Mm-hmm. I think that was just something that was coming out of me from years of just my own self-exploration and enjoying the arts. And then I think once you're in the studio and you're embarking on something repetitively day in and day out, then it's natural that sort of your own roles and perspectives of life creep into the work, I would think. And then once I saw that happening, I really embraced it. And now I kind of try to push it forward and really try to, have some sort of an awakening voice to femininity through the work. I mean, looking at, it ties back to even historically like transcendentalist painters like Agnes Pelton or, the beautiful paintings of Georgia O'Keeffe or the color field paintings of Helen Frankenthaler. I think back to some of these historical female artists and, you like to kind of feel like you're creating something that's relevant historically, but then reinterpreted into a contemporary frame.
Mm-hmm. I think too, though, just thinking maybe circumstantially back to this idea of you spending 10 years in finance and like commuting into New York City every day. And I think that's what you said, but just like kind of putting on this suit, right? Like this more traditionally masculine dynamic to your career. And, you just think of like, I don't know, like in the 50s, like all these men like loading into the subway cars in their suits and heading to Manhattan. Like it just feels very, what's that show that is about that time period?
Oh, Matt, is it Mad Men?
Mad Men, yeah. I'm thinking of you kind of emerging, from this, space where, maybe circumstantially, like going back to the home and being surrounded by your kids and thinking about your identity in a new way, like after you're a mother, you can see like the I don't want to say the need because I feel like I'm projecting and I don't know you, but like the deep dive into like sensuality and fluidity and, just the way that your work kind of reflects that emergence is like really interesting to think about.
Yeah, thank you. I think I see what you mean. I mean, I spent many years working, yes, in a field that it can be defined as masculine. I mean, maybe many years ago. I think today, definitely, it's more gentrified.
That
there are so many strong female trailblazers in the financial field. So I definitely worked in finance during a time where there were so many powerful, brilliant women kind of leading the trenches. And so, this is definitely a departure from that. But I think, they're very different. I think I've always been a creative being. But I also am quite drawn to structure and numbers. And so, it's funny, like I can kind of work either way. And so I think to your point, it was a natural progression through life that maybe I embarked on that career at a younger age. And now that I've had a little bit more life experience and I do see the world differently, through the lens of motherhood to some degree, that now this is kind of the way I want to express myself during this period of my life. So it's definitely an evolution for sure. And I'm so grateful, it's been wonderful. And now I'm sort of looking on how I can push the work forward. I mean, and that's the beautiful thing about it. That's the beautiful thing about painting is sort of how you can push yourself and how you can push the work. And, if it can have some sort of an impact, whether it be, a social impact or just an impact on the viewer, it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful outlet.
I'm proud to share that this episode of the Artist Mother podcast is sponsored by Faherty. Faherty is a family-run clothing brand fueled by purpose and optimism. They make high-quality, sustainably-minded, feel-good fragrance that you'll be proud to wear. This clothing that's made not just to last the season, but a lifetime of wear. For the past few years, I've recently tried to curb my clothes shopping habits and change what I wear to reflect my values. I've pared down my clothes to things I feel good in and feel good about, which means buying less fast fashion and making fewer purchases overall, but buying more high quality pieces when I do buy my clothes. Faherty brand fits right into this model, and I'm kind of obsessed with their Arlie Day pants. They are super comfortable, but help me look slightly more put together than my usual yoga pants outfits. Anybody feel me? Faherty brand believes in social justice and has partnered with and supported some organizations you may recognize, like United Natives, Artists for Peace and Justice, the Trevor Project, and the Audre Lorde Project. They're also holding their company to a high standard with sustainability, designing clothes to last that are made with low impact on the environment. You can shop Faherty by heading to fahertybrand.com/artistmother. Use code ARTISTMOTHER, all lowercase, all together, for 25% off your purchase. It really means a lot when you support the brands that help support our podcast. Check out Faherty's website today and use code ARTISTMOTHER for a 25% off discount. That's pretty generous, guys. Thank you so much, Faherty, for supporting this podcast and our community. And now, back to our episode. Bethany, can you take me back to that moment or those, first moments when you were kind of just an infant in the studio? Like, you're just like, let me try this out. What was that like? And, I'm thinking too to this part of your story and your background being a, quote, self-taught, like, artist, I think... I would love to hear you just talk a little bit about that too, but, first just want to hear you share about your you know, kind of your early moments in the studio, like where you didn't necessarily have, you know, an education in the arts to like help you dive in. Right. Just wondering like what those moments were like, and what did the paintings look like? Like what, yes. You know, were you, like you said, you had some experience in acrylic paint, but then you kind mm-hmm. of just dived right in oil, which I think is like super gutsy, because oil is, you kind of need to know like what you're doing. And so just interested to hear you talk a little bit about that time.
Sure. Yeah. No, it was, there was a lot of frustration, yeah. I will say, you know, when I started kind of, you know, the process and really wanting to paint more regularly, I did start with acrylic, and it came pretty naturally back to me from when I painted, you know, as a child and in college, a little bit on the periphery. And then as I, you know, at first the paintings, I've always, even when I began 4 years ago, I always sort of paid attention to the edges of the canvas, and I'm really drawn to the edges of the canvas. And even now, even though the work now is more voluminous and abstract and technically a bit more advanced, I still really love working from the edges into the canvas. So that's something that's always appealed to me, and I still kind of have that scope today when I paint. Mm. But early on, they were really more minimal abstract paintings, with, you know, broad sweeps of color, and then, you know, working on the edges. And then I started to get really frustrated because, I wanted more vivid color, and I wanted the paint to feel, I wanted the canvases to have a certain feel to them. And then, so I literally just dove in blind with oil paint. I mean,
Read a book?
No, nothing.
You just went and bought oil paint. Started pushing it around.
Pretty much. That is exactly what I did. And for better or for worse, I'm here today. And I still have a lot more to learn and a lot more I want to accomplish.
Yeah, but it's pretty, you know, impressive. I mean,
with the canvas.
Like, I just think about the color fields, you know, and the translucent nature of your paintings. I just feel like that's something that people learn, you know, over time, but also like that people pass down that knowledge. So it's just really interesting to see how quickly, like you've really picked that up. You said you've only been painting for 4 years.
Yeah. You know, it's probably closer to four and a half, five. I started when I was pregnant with my third child, and he's four. So, So I think it was kind of, I dabbled for a while, and then I really started like as a daily practice 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. I'm a very impatient person. when it comes to myself, I have a lot of patience with others, but, very impatient with myself. And so I dove right into this wanting to create, and I had images in my head that I wanted to create that I was frustrated that I couldn't get out. Mm-hmm. Technically I couldn't execute them. And so, I just kept working at it until I could execute them. Until I could find a voice and a vision, that inherently felt like my own, and then build from there. And I mean, I have had people, you know, in my life, I sought, you know, mentors, who would kind of help critique the work. I never had any technical help or guidance, but more like, oh, that's going in an interesting direction, or, oh, you know, maybe think about it this way, or have you thought about this? So really kind of more challenging the work on a psychological notion or level, less on a technical. So, it's been a process. I mean, it always is. Mm-hmm. I think any artist, you have really good days, where you feel like you're accomplishing something meaningful. And then you have some low days where you feel like the work and your voice could be so much stronger. Mm-hmm. And that's just life. I mean, that's in anything. And so it's just pushing through that. It's pushing through those days where you sometimes feel vulnerable, or that the work, or that you're not measuring up in the studio. I think it's pushing through that and believing in it and believing in yourself. I mean, I had some pretty frustrating days when I was learning to manipulate paint, and I still do. Mm-hmm. I still have images in my mind that I want to execute, that I'm trying to figure out how I want to build these paintings out further. Do I want them to parlay into sculpture? I want to incorporate mixed media? I went through a period last year of incorporating iconic feminine fabric into the work, like silks and lace. And I'm still figuring that out. Mm. I'm still figuring out the paintings are unresolved where I've incorporated that. They're not, they're distracting and they're not cohesive. And so now it's my duty to try to make it work and make it feel complete and have it say something meaningful, have an impact. And so, you know, it just changes. The frustration changes.
Yeah.
It's always there, but
yeah, the struggle is the point though. You know,
if
you could paint exactly what you wanted to paint, then I don't know what would be the fun in that.
Yeah, I know. Right.
I mean, really, it's easy to say that, but it's like, I think it's, as artists, we forget that like the struggle is the making, you know, like that's what we're supposed to want to do. And like, I'm not saying that it's always fun, but I don't know, just keeping it in mind that like that is the process. Like that's the journey that we're drawn back to time and time again, you know?
It's true.
The figuring it out.
Yeah, it's true. That's the crux of it. It really is. You know, to go back, one thing I will add is that for a very long time, I was really self-conscious of being a self-taught painter. And now I think, you know, I'm feeling a little bit more sure of myself, but there are days too, where I wish, you know, I think, oh, you know, maybe I desire to go back and get an MFA or, do more residencies, that I can do, you know, as a mother. That's, that's limiting. I haven't been able to partake in any of them really because of the children. And so it's finding those pockets of, opportunities where you can go and really throw yourself into the work and continue to educate and interact and build community. So it's definitely interesting. I mean, being an artist is kind of isolating. So
yeah,
it's nice.
For sure.
So I think, and especially because I found it later in life. So building community is something that I really want to try and continue to do. And, you know, social media has been a wonderful tool in that regard because you're able to connect with other artists and share ideas and feedback. But, of course today, you know, in 2020, it's the way to do it because of COVID, but, I hope to eventually get back into, you know, where you're able to kind of do in-person studio visits or a possible residency or maybe, you know, go back to school. So,
well, thanks for saying that about, you know, just feeling a little vulnerable about being a self-taught artist, because I know many people who listen, and I've had other artists on before where we've sort of actually talked about, like, I just can't decide if I should go get my MFA or if I should, you know, remain self-taught. And, you know, like something that I feel like is really inspiring about you and your work is pursuing an MFA. It's like almost like you're sort of putting the parameters around this, like I'm giving myself time and space to pursue this, to like dig mm-hmm. into my work. And it's kind of like you're setting up this situation where you're allowing yourself, you know, the resources and the engagement to do that. Whereas when you're self-taught, it's like you have to build all that on your own, you know? And like you talked about this, like just sticking with it and like pushing through and just finding that determination within yourself to, you know, look at other work, to research, to educate, to go through this struggle without like outside help. In a way, it's like a lot of pressure on you, you know? Whereas like if you go in an MFA program, yeah, it's of course still you, but it's like at least you kind of have this container set up where you're like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing and what I'm supposed to get out of this. And like a self-taught artist, I just think you have to build that structure, you know, and that is admirable, I think. Yeah. But I think it's really hard. Like, I think that's why people don't often within 4 years push through and really come out with a strong body of work and a voice and, you know, this work that feels cohesive, because it's so mm-hmm. hard to build that container within which you can really pursue this, you know? And I mean, circumstantially, mentally, like there's a lot of things, but yeah, I just admire that about you and your work.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah. I hope because I'm self-taught, I hope it lends some authenticity to the work, mm-hmm. you know, where, it is a pure expression of how I feel as a woman. And I hope they are a contemporary spin on female identity, but then also can remain timeless, where, they can have a place in, mm-hmm. in like the context of, you know, time. So I think also just discipline and grit and mm-hmm. tenacity. And, you know, when you're hungry to create and you just have a desire to push something forward, you need to kind of just stick to it. And, mm-hmm. and it's hard. It's really difficult. And I think, you know, being a self-taught artist, I would say the most important, the few important things that I really try to kind of make paramount are seeking advice mm-hmm. and asking questions from anyone who's willing to chat, like whether it be fellow artists or gallerists or professors, curators, you know, just anyone in my life, mm-hmm. even friends who want to come by and see what I'm painting, who know nothing about art or are not even necessarily too interested in it, but just getting that feedback of their reaction to something that you make and how does it make them feel, or do you know, what do they like about it? What do they not like about it? Even my children, mm-hmm. I mean, they're my studio's in my home, so they're constantly buzzing in and out. It's the only way I can paint, really, mm-hmm. Is to have it here, which I'm very fortunate, especially recently. And so, you know, I think it's just being open to ask questions and be curious, and then being open to hearing people's input and advice, and then not giving up, mm-hmm. really, because it's easy to walk away from at times. It can be very frustrating. But I've been very fortunate, and I'm very grateful. I'm extremely grateful. I mean, even having the solo show this summer, at Massey Cline, I mean, it was wonderful to be able to create a body of work during such a unique period. I mean, I made these paintings, a suite of paintings throughout April, May, and June, really, when I was kind of at home with the kids 24/7, and the world was kind of, we didn't really know what was going to happen, and not really sure. I didn't know if the paintings would necessarily be seen in person. I didn't know if people would go to the gallery, and I didn't really know what the world would be like. And so, to create a body of work during such a unique period of you know, forcing reflection, really and truly. I mean, that talk about really having to think about what you're painting and why you're painting it, and what the response, the elicited response, like what you want that to be from the work, right? Is that was really powerful. And then being able to show the work and have people see the work in person and to hear how people responded and how the work made them feel during that time. I mean, it was such a wonderful experience for me and really motivation to keep doing what I do. So you have to celebrate those times because, you know, you don't, they don't come very often. So, you know, I think any opportunity where people can see the work in person and enjoy it, and then you hear the feedback, it's such a wonderful feeling as an artist, I think, is to share the work.
Yeah, and I can imagine how the experience of seeing your work in particular in person in a gallery in the height of the pandemic, like it's hopeful, you know, it's vibrant, it's colorful. Like I feel like people would walk in and feel encouraged and uplifted. So it's good to hear that that was the case. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about your connection with Massey Klein and just, you know, how you've sort of built a relationship with a New York-based gallery so quickly, but you know, just so early in your art career, and then you know, again, with like being self-taught and not having some of those connections through maybe an MFA program, just wanting to hear a little bit about how you started to put yourself out there and then eventually worked up to representation with Massey Klein.
Sure. So, you know, for me, Instagram has been a wonderful platform. I think, you know, it really is a great platform for visual artists because it gives us an opportunity to share what we're making and receive feedback. And it allows, you know, for us to share work and, you know, people who maybe otherwise would not see the work can see it. So it kind of all started with Instagram, but then I went into the gallery to see a show that they had put on that I was interested in, and we got to talking, and Ryan and Garrett, who founded Massey Klein, they're lovely and really, you know, just kind and have a strong understanding of the arts. And so I just fell in love with spending time with them, really. Mm-hmm. And so I loved going and talking, you know, about work with them. And the shows that they were putting on were really thoughtful and, you know, thought-provoking shows. And the artists really ran a beautiful spectrum. And so I found myself really drawn to the shows that the gallery was putting on. And then every time I would go to an opening or I would, you know, stop in to see a show, I always came away from the conversation with either Ryan or Garrett feeling really wonderful. Like it was a very fulfilling conversation about work, about the work they were showing, about the artists, you know, that they represent. And we would talk about, you know, whether it was the current show or if I had seen something, and I would bring up an artist of work who I really admired, and we'd talk about that artist. And, you know, their feedback was always so fascinating and so spot on. And I felt very comfortable chatting with them. And so, you know, over time, we had kind of met in the gallery a few times from various shows, and then they came out for a studio visit, and it was great. And, you know, again, just really like talking about the work. And I spend so much time in the studio and I spend so much time painting, that for me, it was just so gratifying to be able to talk with people who really appreciated, and wanted to hear about what I was creating. Like they wanted to hear what was going on in my head and they wanted to talk about my work. And as an artist, that's, you know, really, I mean, that we can't get, it doesn't get any better than that, right? You love to talk about what you're making. So, so one studio visit led to another studio visit. And a continued dialogue and just, you know, kind of a friendship. And then they had reached out about a year in advance to plan the solo that I had this past July. And so it gave me a year to really think about, you know, a body of work that I wanted to create. And so I had created the paintings and then was feeling very disconnected from those paintings upon COVID once we kind of went into this sort of quarantine. And then I just created a whole new body of work for the show in the matter of 3 months.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. You know, changing course a little bit, but yeah. it was great. To kind of touch on that, I mean, I think, as a self-taught sort of an artist with, you know, I didn't really have a contact or a network, from an MFA program. I mean, it's just really social media, sharing your work, going to see shows, you know, talking with gallerists or other artists about their work, learning, being open and curious and expressing interest. And I think I'm just so grateful to everyone and anyone who's willing to talk to me and take the time to talk to me about my paintings. I think I always walk away learning something from anyone who shares feedback. I mean, it's always a valuable experience, whether it's, you know, good or bad or positive or challenging. And Massey Klein in particular, I mean, they've been very strong supporters of me and my work and my voice. And that's just, I'm so appreciative, really.
Mm, that's so great. Yeah, I've met them. Well, I've met Garrett and just stopping in to see work at their gallery. And I've interviewed Allison Remus and Sarah Irvin. And they both have become friends of mine through. I feel like I'm like poaching all of the Massey Klein mother artists because they're all so great. Like, I didn't realize you were connected with Massey Klein until after I had reached out to you. And then I'm like, oh, of course she is.
Well, I think that helps. I mean, Garrett is an artist himself and their parents, and Ryan is a mother. And I, you know, that is really meaningful for me, you know, to share the commonalities and share life experience and perspective and to work with them, you know, and be comfortable with who you are in your own skin and what your vision is and what you're creating. I mean, it's so important I couldn't be happier. It's been great. And I look forward to, I'm having a solo at Massey Klein in October of 2021. And so I look forward to that. Yeah. And so it's fantastic and, super, super grateful. They're wonderful.
So Bethany, just want to hear, a little bit more about the practical, like way you structure studio time and our, you know, juggling motherhood, and then we'll wrap up our interview. But if you could talk just a little bit about like, you know, how does childcare play into your art practice? Is this something that are you painting just during times when you are not with your kids, or are you kind of like setting them up in their home? I know your youngest is 4, so you're out of the baby phase a little bit, but you certainly, you know, you've been painting while you've had babies and toddlers running around your house. So just want to hear you talk a little bit about sort of that, you know, the strategy for fitting in your studio time and your growing your art career while you're in the midst of parenting young kids.
Sure. Absolutely. I would say, you know, flexibility is key, right? Mm-hmm. So for me, it's just flexibility and embracing that it's not going to be perfect all the time. You know, I painted when my youngest was an infant and I just made it work. I painted, he was in a baby Bjorn or in a little seat in my studio, or napping. And so really how I structure the time now, is, you know, the children, all 3 of my children are luckily in school full time, which I'm so grateful for. Mm-hmm. And so I often, you know, my studio is in the home. And so it's pretty easy. I mean, I'll drop the children off at school, and then I have designated days studio days, usually about 4 a week. And then I'll paint for like 6 hour stretches. So, they're long days when I am in the studio. And then, lately I've been fortunate to do it in a quiet space because the kids are in school. And then, so it's kind of like once I get them off and I take care of any kind of admin, things that I need to get done, then I'll be in the studio from roughly 9 until 2.
Mm-hmm.
And then it might carry over, into the afternoons or evenings. Like I might come back and finish something once, you know, homework and extracurriculars are attended to, dinner and whatnot. And then, if there's something I'm in the middle of, I'll carry on or I'll just wrap up for the day. But I would say I average about 30 hours a week in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe more depending on if I have deadlines or if I really am trying to push something forward,
mm-hmm.
You know, then it might be more, but, and then during, you know, COVID, when everyone was quarantining, it was actually wonderful because, you know, I could homeschool the kids in the morning and then kind of had the rest of the day to paint. And a lot of times they're in the studio with me. I mm-hmm. mean, it's not a perfect existence by any means. You know, I'll often be quizzing my daughter on, you know, social studies facts or math facts or spelling or, you know, helping my son with reading, and I'll be painting at the same time. I mean, it's very much a process of multitasking. But the thing I'll say is that I'm thinking about the paintings 24 hours a day. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, in true, you know, if I'm being completely honest, I've painted aspects of these paintings over and over and over again in my mind so that like when I get to the studio, I kind of know, okay, I'm going to mix these colors and I'm going to work on these parts of the paintings today and then they're going to dry. And then 3 days later I'll work. So it's gotten to a point where it's quite scheduled and I've thought about it so often and I have so much downtime as a mom too. I mean, I'm in the car line, you know, I spend like 20 minutes of my day in a car line.
Yeah.
So oftentimes like I'll be sketching things out or making notes, like, you know, I'm going to try this hue on this painting and, you know, mix these colors for this. And so I'm kind of constantly, I always sort of have one foot in the studio, figuratively or, you know, hypothetically,
right.
I'm kind of always in the studio mentally. And so I kind of have a journal and I bring it and I jot notes down and, you know, my son fences. So if I'm at fencing practice, I'll again be reading, books or making notes and kind of rethinking the work. And so that when I am in the studio, there's less pondering in the studio. It's more efficient. Like I know exactly what I'm going to do. And then it's really a dialogue between me and the work at that point. Like either that works and I'm like, okay, great. Or it doesn't work. And then I have to kind of rethink it. And then when I come back to the studio, we go, you know, that those works go in a different direction. And so, but the thought process is always constant.
Mm-hmm.
Whether I'm physically in the studio or not, it's always there.
Mm-hmm. I certainly can relate to that. Bethany, can you just share a little bit about, like, what do you think is the most challenging thing about being an artist? Like, what's the hardest part of it for you?
I would say I think confidence. I think believing in yourself and believing in the work, really. Mm-hmm. I think finding your voice and believing in the work is for me, that's been challenging only because I care so much about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I really push it. I try to push it forward. And so I think, it's just having that constant belief that the work will get stronger and that is it challenging enough and challenging yourself in the studio and not surrendering to just what's working or what's easy, but to try to push the parts that aren't working and seeing where that goes and exploring that. I think for me, those have been kind of the elements where those have been kind of markers, like challenging markers mm-hmm. for me. It's just the confidence to challenge myself in the studio and make work that maybe isn't aesthetically as pleasing, but that it's going to get you to an end point, right? Mm-hmm. Like they always say you have to make a lot of really unattractive work before you get to like the meaningful work or, mm-hmm. or unfulfilling work before you get to the fulfilling work. And so for me, it's just continuing to see that through and push it and then have confidence that, mm-hmm. you know, that even though I'm a self-taught artist, that I can paint and I am a painter. I mean, it took me a really long time to even think of myself as an artist. Mm-hmm. I just looked at myself as someone who liked to paint. And then as you become more familiar and you look at more work and you see what's out there and you have desires to share your work, I think then I kind of thought, okay, no, this is something that really fulfills me. And I'd like to do this full time. And
yeah,
how can I make that happen? So
thank you so much for sharing. Okay, Bethany, final five. These are just some quick questions for us to get to know you a little better to wrap up our interview. So interested to hear, who is your biggest art crush?
My biggest art crush. Gosh, I have many, 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 many.
You've mentioned a few already, but.
Yeah, no, but even like current contemporary mm-hmm. Crushes, like, I mean, Gina Beavers mm-hmm. right now is just the show at Marianne Boesky Gallery was so poignant and spot on. And I mean, just to see her work in person and the sculptural elements of the paint and getting up close with the work, I mean, just mind-blowing, like overwhelmingly fabulous. So I would say she's definitely up there right now. You know, there's so many. I was just in the city a couple weeks ago, and there's so many strong shows, like the Amy Silman show at Gladstone.
Yes. Did you see that?
I did.
So jealous.
Really incredible. And like, I love the juxtaposition of the works on paper and the canvases. And there was like one duo that was installed side by side. And so, that was a really beautiful, thoughtful show. Mm-hmm. I love, you know, Jennifer Guidi is another one who I admire. I love her kind of Mandela-like paintings with sand and paint and the color field aspect of her work. They're so meditative and so tactile. And I really respond to her work as well.
Okay. What is your favorite place to travel or a dream trip you'd like to go on?
I have a soft spot for Italy. You know, I've had many, many good trips there, whether it be in the cities of Rome or Florence or on the coast by the beaches. So one part of Italy I've been yearning to go to is Lake Como. I haven't been there yet. And then the other places were kind of on our bucket list as a family would be, we'd like to take the kids to Japan, and do that. And even like the coast of Japan and then Iceland, the kids really want to go to Iceland. So yeah, I would say those are sort of, one soft spot place that I love and two bucket list places.
Awesome. What film or book has inspired you greatly?
I love Pedro Almodóvar films. Mm-hmm. I love his films a lot. I love the cinematography and the color and the passion. And I'm a huge fan of his work. And then books, there are many, a lot. I would say one I recently just bought that I'm kind of just getting into that was actually Ryan Massey recommended was the Joseph Albers, Interaction of Color. And so
I've heard good things about that book.
Yes. Yeah. I'm so glad she recommended it to me. And so I'm looking forward to kind of diving into that, because I think I'm going to start maybe possibly playing with the idea of doing these paintings in one hue so that they're more minimal. I'm going to kind of experiment, but there's so much nuance to that in order to create like light and depth. So
excited to see where that takes you.
Thank you.
Okay. What is your favorite meal?
I would say sushi. I love sushi. Or pizza. I love pizza too. I love it all, actually. We love to cook. I love steak, and I don't know. We love it all. We're big culinary fanatics. I cannot pick one meal. It's so funny because my husband and I will play that game. Like, okay, if it's your last meal, you know.
Right. What's your prison?
And then you wind up, it's like a multi-course. It's ridiculous. It's not a meal. It's like a 10-course meal. I don't know. I would say I'm probably more savory. As I've aged, I'm more savory than sweet. Mm. So when I was younger, I had more of an insatiable sweet tooth, and it's tapered off. And now I don't know if it was pregnancy or I'm not sure what, but now I would say I lean more on the savory side. Mm. But we love it all. And we cook often, and we love to entertain and have friends over and cook for friends and cook for family. And so
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, Bethany, last but not least, I always like to just offer you a space to give a shout out to an artist or somebody in your life who's supported you in your work.
Yeah. So, I mean, there are many, many, many. But I would say I have an artist friend here in Westport in Connecticut, Elise Rosner, who really helped kind of champion me from an kind of early stage and when I was sort of just exploring, and she was really helpful in giving me more critical feedback. And she's a fabulous painter as well. And so on a personal note, I would say, you know, she has been a great friend and a wonderful ear for just the work. And, you know, I'm really grateful to Ryan and Garrett. I mean, so, so grateful, you know, for believing in my work and giving me a space to show it. Yeah. I think that's so meaningful. I'm an emerging artist, and I care so much about creating meaningful paintings, and I look forward to sharing them. And I'm very thankful that Massey Klein gave me space to show. So, and I'm very grateful for my husband and my kids too, because I couldn't do it without their patience. So,
well, I'm glad you have all that support. Okay, Bethany, where can people find more about you and your work?
I would say on Instagram and my website, I suppose.
What are your handles?
Like, my Instagram handle is Bethany Czarnecki. So it's Czarnecki. That's my Instagram. And then my website is the same. It's just BethanyZarnicki.com. Cool.
Thank you so much, Bethany. This was wonderful. I know everybody's going to love hearing about your life and your work.
Thank you. Thank you. It was so nice to catch up with you, Kaylin. I really appreciate it.
Yes, of course. The Artist Mother podcast is curated and produced by Kaylin Butine. Music by Josh Middleton. Editing and mixing by John M. Butine. Please visit www.artistmotherpodcast.com for episode notes and to find out how you can further support this podcast.